He joins us here in the Venue Kings Hotline. That's why you're on with us, right? To make sure that you guys get enough media attention.
That's why I'm here.
How you doing, Coach? Do you get much of it? I know that you guys are constantly working. Do you get any kind of an off season?
Yeah, the last week or two has been time for us to kind of recharge a little bit, and so it's been awesome. And we're kind of all back in, everybody, the coaches, this week, and then the coaches get a couple more weeks, and I'll have a week or so, and then we start the media days. My next most favorite thing.
Sure. How does Coach Peterson recharge?
You got to have a lot of prep for that. Hold on. I want to hear about media day prep. Is there a lot of prep for media day?
No, they're basically showing up and answer the questions they ask me.
That's right.
You know.
Compete every day, Coach. Come on, you got to compete in that media day.
That's one thing I'm good to, you know, take a backseat on. We'll take second or tenth in that whole deal. I'm okay with that.
How do you recharge? How do you get away? What do you like
water,
to do?
Water, water, water. I like the water. I like being in a boat. You know, I like to wake surf. You know, I just like being out on the water. So wherever I can get that's how I do it.
What have you been reading? This is a question I usually ask Coach Carroll, either after or even maybe right before his off season. What do you read? What have you been kind of looking at for leadership training with the guys this year? What's been on your mind? What are some of the outside influences on you?
I have three books that are on my nightstand. I usually end up getting bored a little bit as I get through books. I like to read articles. I like to read the Harvard Business Review. I like to read that'll go into depth. Sometimes Atlantic, you know, if there's an in-depth article that I can spend an hour reading and not have to take 2 weeks. I'm reading, I believe it's Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft's book, Hit Refresh, I think is what it is. I've been reading that, and I've been intrigued with that whole thing. And then I have a couple other books that I haven't got into yet, which I will here shortly.
Hey, you're freshmen on campus, right?
Yeah, they're here.
You have a chance to start to work with them at all? What is the kind of role and responsibility right now that the coaching staff gets with all your incoming freshmen?
So we can't coach them football-wise. We can have some meetings with them, and they're with our strength coach. But they're also in a pretty intense writing class all summer for the month. And so they're in class in the late morning, and then they're in class again in the early afternoon. So they may come over here and do, you know, a meeting with us in the morning, and then they'll work out in the afternoon with our strength coaches. And we just kind of indoctrinate them into the program. I mean, really the last thing that I'm worried about with these guys is the weight room and the football part of things in this month. I'm really concerned and really into trying to indoctrinate them into our culture, how to show up early to everything, how to be prepared for everything, how they're going to treat each other, how they conduct themselves in the dorm, all those, that when that is correct, the rest is going to work out just fine. So it's an intense month for them. And that's really, you know, every time we got to get the freshmen here and get them learning the playbook and get them with our strength coach. And, yeah, that's important. It is. But it's not as important as the other stuff I just spoke about.
You're talking to Coach Peterson here on Brock and Salk. Well, I'm curious how you feel this time of year, because there are times we talk to you and I think we hear some of your frustration with the game and not specifically playing football or coaching football, but a lot of the other outside parts that have become a part of the game of college football. How do you feel about it this time of year when you've had a little time to recharge? You're not right in the middle in the thick of some of the awful parts of the job, or not the job, but the game of college football. And you're doing the coaching of people like you are with the freshmen. Do you feel a little better about it this time of year?
Well, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, that I think the game of college football is still awesome. If I didn't think that, I wouldn't be doing it. I mean, I really love it, and I love the kids, and I do like so many things about it. I think everybody has a job, you know, their job that they get frustrated with. I get frustrated with politics. I get frustrated with hype and misinformation. And that's kind of the world that we really live in. But I can't sit here and be frustrated all the time and complain about it. I mean, it's the world that I need to learn how to deal with that. Mm. You know, it is what it is. And we need to learn how to deal with it and still stay true to who we are. And that's the challenge. It's not about, you know, us being mad at the system and don't like it. I mean, that's life. And so my challenge is for us to, you know, deal with the world we live in and be the best we possibly can. And that's how I try to reframe it, so I'm not frustrated. Sometimes we all have those days where we are frustrated, and it is what it is. But I still think college football is awesome, and I love working with these kids and being around them.
Coach Peterson with us. You know, I was telling a story just last year after Budda Baker got drafted before his rookie season in Arizona. We've got a sister station down there in Phoenix, and they were wanting to know about Budda. And I told the story that you shared with us on the air about Budda when you guys went down to the Space Needle, right? And you took the buses and the players down there. And to me, that story is so just emblazoned in my mind of just the leader that he was. He was the first one up those stairs, and he was going to lead that pack. And, man, what a role he played from a leadership standpoint on that team. Was there a couple moments this offseason? Do you get a feel or a sense yet of some of the kind of the alphas that have taken charge of this group through the offseason pointing into 2018?
Well, I always, I think that's always work in progress. And when you lose the seniors that you lose, like some people might think that, you know, this guy has to be a great player to be a leader. And you love it when that happens, but that's few and far between. We'll have a lot of really solid players that are more of the leader type player guys in the locker room. And so everybody, you know, will talk about, oh, this guy's really being a leader. And I'm like, how do you know that? Because he's playing good. So the playing part of things and the leadership part of things, a lot of times are mutually exclusive. I love it when our best players are our leaders. I mean, that's when the juice really starts to flow. And so we're still work in progress there. And I always have a leadership team, a council that I try to teach leadership to. It's awesome. That's part of one of the things I like about this job. You know, I've always heard about coaches complain about, you know, we had a losing season. Well, we had no leaders on the team. And I've heard that forever. And I'm always thinking, well, are you coaching leadership as hard as you coach zone read and all those type of things? And I already know the answer to that. So I learned that long ago. It's like, you know, this is a hard concept to teach, and it's a hard, and you have to go out and get hit in the mouth, and it takes years to develop it. But at least I'm going to start it here. This, you know, the leadership being a lifelong skill that they can carry on to all parts of their life, and hopefully, most importantly, with their family. And that's how I start the whole thing. It's like, you know, this thing is a life skill that if I can get you started on this in the right way and we can learn some good lessons and you can become a leader for this team, we're going to both be better off for it down the road.
What's the key to coaching leaders?
Well, I don't know if there's one key to it. You know, the one thing that I do know, it's like leaders come in all different size, shapes, and colors. And you know, everybody thinks it's this, you know, this charismatic personality. And you love it when it's like that. But that is just so few and far between. And all the research says that really doesn't have a whole lot to do with leadership, this charismatic personality. It's, you know, what the guy's made of and the decisions he makes and the trust and the respect and, you know, the help that the leader gives other people. And so these are the principles we teach around here for these kids. It's not about you going out for the coin toss. Like, that's the thing. Like, I always tell those guys, I'm really close to not sending anybody that I think is a leader out to the coin toss, because that has nothing to do with leadership. That has to do with, like, your mom getting a picture of you, you know, out there with the referees before the game. But that doesn't have anything to do with leaders. That's not being a captain. You know what I mean? And so it's like that whole misconception of, like, our best player is our leader. Well, not necessarily. Or the captains go out for the coin toss. Well, what does that have to do with leadership? You know, it has nothing to do with leadership. It's all these hard things that are going on right now in our locker room.
Well, I'll point to a couple things. And last time, when Coach Peterson on with us, last time we talked about Jimmy Lake and Pete Kwiatkowski and just some of that leadership on your staff. and what that can do to an entire team when a D coordinator says, nope, you go ahead and call the plays, you be D coordinator. I want to continue to just be a part of the staff, and I don't really care what the title and recognition. Another thing I would think is, you know, when a guy says no to the NFL and he comes back. And, Chris, I've looked at this through the years. Georgia had a couple running backs last year. They did the same thing. Sony Michel, Nick Chubb said, nope, I want to be a part of it. Boy Howdy, our producer, one of our producers here, went with me down to Clemson, sat in the room with the D linemen at Clemson just this spring, and they were like, yeah, man, I love it here. You know, I'll wait on the NFL. We'll continue to be molded here. Miles Gaskin said no to the NFL. He's come back. What has that impact felt like in your program, around your program? Do you feel something tangible with that decision he made for your team?
Well, I think it's just like when those kids make those decisions that, you know, have so much hype around them and they could go into the NFL and play and they decide to come back, you know, to me it's, you know, it's such a mature decision because it's probably easier just to go to the NFL. And we always tell our guys, easier doesn't mean better. I mean, so many people like mistake that, like a decision's easier, but that doesn't mean it's better. And so for those kids to have maturity and know that sometimes easier isn't better, it takes a lot in this day and age. And so, you know, I think it's awesome for our program, but I think it's good for Miles. Miles is a football player. I mean, he is a football junkie. He loves the game of football, and he loves the locker room, and he loves the camaraderie. And you know better than anyone, pro football and college football are so different. And these kids don't know that. We try to talk to them about that, and I don't say that in a bad way, but there's nothing like college football, like there's nothing like high school football. So get all you can out of this experience, and then, you know, there'll be time for that next step. And so, you know, I just get inspired when the kids make, like, mature decisions. Sometimes the best decision is to go. You know, if the draft is – your draft rank is going to be high enough, then you should go in. Because NFL is about money, and it's about maximizing your stock. And so if you got a chance to maybe increase your stock a little bit and you're not done with everything you started out to accomplish here at Washington, then you need to really think about that and make a mature decision. And it is hard these day and age to make that. We had a handful of guys make, you know, I think we're kind of inspiring decisions. And, you know, Vita ended up leaving early, and Vita needs to leave early. If you're going to be a first-round pick, a top 15 pick, you need to go. But if you're not, you need to think twice about it and make sure it's the right thing to do.
Are you available to just consult on big decisions in other people's lives? Like, if I have a big decision, can I just call you and maybe just get a little advice beforehand? I feel like it would help.
You know, I would love that, because you know how it's always so much easier to make really big, tough decisions for somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody else's life than your own. Oh, yeah, I'm really good at that.
I would really appreciate that. I mean, Mike Leach says he wants to call me and argue politics with me while I'm eating dinner. And so maybe when I'm done, I can call you and actually get some help with some big decisions. Hey,
don't drag me into the Mike Leach at all. Just keep me out of that one.
He's got his own thing going on there. How's Jake Browning doing?
He's awesome. You know, I think of Jake a little bit like I think of Buddha. You know, Brock, you were talking about, you know, the Space Needle story and him, you know, just him setting the tone. That's not my favorite Buddha Baker story. My favorite Buddha Baker stories are me trying to be out to practice before Buddha would be and watch him at the tunnel, stand at the tunnel before he'd run on the field for practice, put his helmet on, stand there for about 30 seconds, and he was just getting his mind right, and then he would run. He would never walk on the practice field. He would run down to where the DBs would work out every single day, and from drill to drill, he ran like he was getting his mind right, and he would never walk on the field. And we try to promote that, and our guys are pretty good about moving around practice, but you watch Buddha do – I mean, it was just like so impressive. Like, he's going to a grinding practice, and he's like getting his mind – and it was every day. You know, that's the key to anything in terms of greatness is, you know, is the consistency. Like, anyone can have a great day, and a lot of people can have a great week or month, but just to do it day after day, like, that just starts to separate people, and he would do that all the time. And that was Buddha. And Jake is a lot like that. I mean, he is all business. He wants to get better, worse than anyone in this building, and he backs it up with his consistent mindset and work ethic. And so he's awesome to be around. You just love being around people like that. It's inspiring to you know, our coaches, as old guys, that we think we got the answers, but we watch our young guys and go, yeah, we need to all do like this guy here.
So as you look back on spring ball and Chris Peterson with us, and you kind of evaluated all that tape, and then that'll go to the side, and you get ready for Auburn, and Mike wants to ask you all about that game here in just a minute too. But as you look back at spring, was there anything that really stood out, either from a new coordinator in Bush Hamden and some of his juice and energy to bring into the table, some of the new pieces that were there? Was there anything that stood out in those 15 practices to you, Chris?
I don't know if there's any one thing. It's kind of, we try to go back to ground zero and start over and you know, keep things simple. I think, you know, I know you're talking in general, but I think I kind of go back to Jake again. I think one of the things Jake needs to do is just keep things simple. He knows so much football, and sometimes, you know, complexity and knowing so many things can almost work against you. And I think we're trying to just keep things as simple as we can. Now, with that being said, we do have a lot of new wrinkles, like, in our system. The system is the system, but within that, there's new plays, there's new reads, there's, with Bush, you know, back in the mix. And so it's been great for Jake, because I think it's challenging, and, you know, he needs to be challenged in meetings and those type of things. But, you know, I don't know if any one thing stood out. I liked how the quarterbacks battled. You know, I think that's a really nice competition in there with all those guys. And, you know, nobody was talking about Jake Haener, and Jake Haener had as good a spring as anybody. And I love to see those type of things, because, you know, that's where you talk about the hype and those type of things. And, you know, that's not going to get you much. It's all about working and producing.
Next Wednesday, we'll be over there. The station will be for our football camp, and a couple of your Huskies are going to help me out, as they've done over the last few years. I can't wait for it.
Do we know who yet?
I know Justice is, and there's Justice Warren. I think there's yep. – I'm waiting on a couple other ones. I may have three, actually. We have more than ever. But if I had your team out there, right, last year Dante Pettis was so cool. He was so fun, and he loved the kids, and he returned a punt against, I think, 82 of them. They couldn't tackle him on a punt return either. But if I lined up your team this year, right, on the goal line, your whole team, and I said sprint to the 50, who wins that race? Who's the fastest?
Who's the fastest
Husky next Wednesday in our stadium? If I could have your whole team, and, you know, hamstrings, don't regard those or anything else, calves, anything that could be a risk. Who's the fastest Husky on this roster?
Gosh, that's a great question. I'm probably going to say somebody, and Coach Salha would come back and say he's not the fastest. But, you know, I think Savon Ahmed is, I mean, he's pretty fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can roll pretty good.
Chico's
right there. You know, I think it's Chico quicker than fast, but he has good top-end speed. He'd probably be right there. Andre Bocelli would be right there. You know, I'm going to have – you guys just created – now, if anybody on our team hears this interview, I'm going to have a line of 10 guys outside my office going,
I was going to say, how many guys think they're the fastest?
That's about 40. Miles Gaskin's going to be the first thing guy in here going, really? Really? I'm not the fat, you know? And, so we got some guys that can run.
It was easier when you had John Ross. I mean, you just knew the answer to the question. You didn't really need to debate this. Like, hey, guys, check out that guy. He's faster than you are.
Yes.
Who's going to catch the ball this year?
Who's going to catch the ball?
Yeah.
Gosh, there's going to be a lot of guys that catch the ball. That's what I love about this. You know, that's the beauty of college football. Is guys, we have a lot of guys that have played at that position. And so now let's see who makes that next step. And everybody's going to be like, wow, where'd this guy come from? Well, he's been in the mix. We've had guys around him. Maybe he wasn't targeted as much. You know, so we got Chico coming back, and Quentin Pounds, and Andre Bocelli, and Aaron Fuller, and Jordan Chin hasn't done a lot, but has done a nice job in spring and summer. Ty Jones got his feet wet and did, you know, he wasn't targeted a bunch, but he's ready. And then we got some of those kids that, you know, redshirted, and Alex Cook, and you know, a couple of those other guys. We got those freshmen coming in. And so we got a lot of guys there in our tight ends and the running backs. We need to throw the ball to our running backs. Miles Gaskins has tremendous hands. I mean, he is such a playmaker. I mean, everybody knows that. That's an obvious statement. But I'm talking about catching the ball. He might have had two of the best catches last year. We won at Rutgers over his shoulder in the end zone. I mean, you put that on tape and you're like, holy smokes. So we got to throw he and Savon the ball for sure. So I think we got a lot of guys that we can spread the ball around. But I'm always excited to see who's going to step up. Everybody wants to talk about these freshmen. You know, those guys are going to get better, and the sophomores. I want to know, like, guys, the juniors that have played a lot and the seniors. Like, who has that breakout year? That's what changes your program. That's what changes your team.
Have you put yourself in Atlanta yet, getting ready for Auburn?
Not even kind of. Yeah, not even kind. I know the fans are already there, and we've got the TV warmed up on there, but we are so far away from that. I mean, it's interesting because we've got like two more weeks. But by the time Friday, we're having a little team meeting and kind of regrouping, and we have two more weeks of summer training. And it was like, what do we need to get done still in these 2 weeks? Like, each group will have something, a couple things that are specific that we really – and so that's how we look at it, not only 2 weeks, but each week, each day is, like, so important. When we're splitting hairs playing Auburns and, you know, and trying to compete with the best of the best, I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. So we're not fast-forwarding until are we in Atlanta. I mean, we are so – and then we got fall camp, you know, which is completely different than summer training. I mean, Coach Saha's working his tail off and his crew of getting these guys in shape, but it's not football shape. You don't get into football shape unless you play football. So he sets the foundation in terms of their mindset and gets them in pretty good weightlifting and cardiovascular shape, and then we got to get in football shape and play football. And so that's a whole month of that. So we're so far away from that that we're not there yet.
Coach, I could talk to you all day. Honestly, I know that you can because you got other things that are more important and we're just media, but I could talk to you all day. If nothing else, just to hear the way you talk
not
is amazing.
Kind of.
I don't know anyone else who really talks like that. It's awesome. I thank you so much for coming on.
I'm not sure what you guys are saying, talking like.
I love it.
I love it.
You say everybody's name. It's like this. It's an amazing combination of being proud of them and angry about it all at the same time.
Yeah. That's good. And that's the dilemma that I deal with our team, because I am proud of them. And I think we need to, you know, you need to develop confidence. Like, we're trying to do that in these kids. We're trying to build self-esteem. Like, when you have self-esteem in football or in life, it's game-changing. I mean, just think about things you feel confident in. It's just like you approach everything different. So we need to develop self-esteem and confidence in these kids. But yet we need to have that chip on our shoulder and just be, you know, in some ways pissed off at the world. And that combination to me is like – is game changing. And so how do you do that? And every team is different and every person's different, but that is the dilemma that I deal with at all times. And it's awesome. Interesting you kind of picked up on that, because that's what I think we're trying to do around here.
Well, thank you, Coach. We really appreciate it. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you soon.